everyone's just talking about Bitcoin. Everyone's just talking about Bitcoin.
Again, it's all about interoperability.
So you're saying it's going to make everyone have to flirt with each other.
This is how we work together. It's very it's very subtle, but it's very different.
I'm excited for my future Nostra phone. Do you think I can get it in purple? You're listening to Flirting with Bitcoin, a weekly chat with my very interesting husband about Bitcoin and how the world and our family's life is better because of it.
It's season 4 and we've moved to Nostra City.
So my Bitcoin lessons are done?
Your Bitcoin lessons are never done.
So what does new social media have to do with it?
Babe, Nostra is more than social media. If Bitcoin is the new money, Nostra is the new internet.
You really think so?
I do. I believe Nostra will drive the next wave of Bitcoin adoption. So Nostra City is where we need to be.
We?
Yeah, of course we're bringing Keon. You got your bags packed, buddy?
Yes.
Good job. Don't forget to pack your NPub.
Let's go. Hey, Ian.
Hey, Mandana.
101.
What's that?
The episode number.
Yeah, it's like Flirting with Bitcoin 101.
It's so teach, professor. What are you covering today in our lesson?
Well, I don't have my doctorate in anything. But while we were away, Fountain did, let's call it, two big updates. First, they released version 1.0. And then fast after that, they released version 1.1, which incorporated Nostra into the Fountain experience, if you will. One of the big things about this is now when you like and comment on posts in Fountain, they actually show up in the Nostra ecosystem and vice versa. So you can see a comment that was made in Fountain in Domus and you can reply and it shows up in Fountain.
Domus, Primal, Amethyst, any of those apps,
any
right?
Nostra client.
Look at you interchangeably using Domus as Nostra. I mean, that's what I do.
I mean, I just say Domus for you because I know you use Domus.
So what does this all mean?
Well, I think this is a really good example of two things. Number one, a couple seasons ago, I said that Fountain was going to do this.
Oh, so this is just your I told you so, Mandana?
Not so much I told you so. It's that everyone is going to have to make certain decisions because they are just obvious. The same thing goes with like corporate decisions around, are they going to buy and hold Bitcoin? They're going to have to. There's not going to be a CEO on the planet that says, no, we're not going to hold Bitcoin and stay a CEO. That's just not possible. The same type of thing is happening for app developers now that Nostra exists. If you're not building some type of integration with Nostra, your app is going to be extremely siloed from everyone else.
You mean for Bitcoin apps?
I mean for apps. One of the things that Nostra has done is made people ask the question, why is this data siloed? So like Twitter and Facebook do not share data. You do not share the same follower list. You do not share the same feed or anything like that. But your follower list on Domus or Primal is your follower list in Fountain. And if you add someone in Fountain, they are added in Domus. Like it is an interoperable application now.
Oh, it is. I guess I haven't looked at my follow list in Fountain recently to see if that's synced up.
Well, you have to do a couple things to make it link up. But the fundamental idea is that now when I add followers, whatever you want to call them, in Fountain, they are in my other Nostra applications. And so if you're not part of that ecosystem, then people cannot bring their social graph to your application.
What does social graph mean?
Your follower list, your friends.
Ah, I see.
Yeah.
All right, so before we really dive into what this all means for me, since I use Fountain, what time is it, babe?
The current time is 860019, and we're approximately 2,185 blocks since our last recording.
And if I gave you one crumpled up, ripped up U.S. dollar, how many acres could I get on sunny Bitcoin Island?
Well, if it's ripped, none.
I taped it up.
And none.
None,
because I have to do something with that dollar and someone else isn't going to take it. So,
all right. I found 4 quarters.
All right.
How many acres can I get?
If you found 4 quarters, you could get 1,752 acres, aka Satoshis, for one United States dollar.
So it's funny. I think price of Bitcoin has been stabilizing recently and everyone on Nostra is complaining about it. So tell me this like 58K joke. Everyone is like, I don't know, a bunch of memes about how like it's never going to move past 58 and 58 is the true price of Bitcoin. And explain this to me.
It's a meme that came over from Twitter, right? Because back in the day, the first run up of the Bitcoin price went past 58K and then came back down. Mm-hmm. And so this is a meme that's been going on for like 4 years. We're just in a new cycle. We ran back up past 58K and we seem to be coming back down and hovering around it again. I've seen this meme before. It's not new. It's just funnier now because we're experiencing it again. You're not on Twitter, so you didn't see it the first time. So you're on Oster, you're seeing it now. Mm-hmm. But you're basically seeing a Bitcoin Twitter thing. But also, they're not wrong. Like, for some reason, we seem to be hovering around 58K. You know, everyone always does these memes like, we're going to do 100 push-ups until every day until we hit 100K. Mm-hmm. I think the 58K gang was doing something like that. I don't know what it was. Please, listeners, tell me what it was. I don't pay attention to all the memes. I just know there's the 58K gang. That's all I know of it. You know, maybe there's a big buyer somewhere that just has a buy order in for 58K. And every time it goes past it, he just starts gobbling it, or she just starts gobbling it back up. But it is a number that we seem to be pegged to hovering around. But, you know, if you got in below 58K, you don't really care. Yeah. It's only the people that bought it in like the last 6 months that care.
As I try to contribute memes to Nostra City, I did make one where the price was hovering around 58K, just like, you know, coincidentally. And it's, you know, Ted Lasso, like overlaid on it, being like, live, live, live. And it's, you know, behind I have like a screen record of me doing like a smash buy of Bitcoin at that price. So every time I'm seeing these like 58K memes, I just like repost that one because I'm like, I want to be a part of this. Can I join? Yeah. Can I be part of the 58K gang? Can I be an honorary member?
This is the beauty of Nostr, though, babe. Like, you could literally just ask, can someone please explain this to me?
I know.
Right? Like, people will. Like, there's a historian somewhere that'll tell you the whole history of the 58K gang. Guaranteed.
Are you saying I don't need this podcast anymore?
I'm not saying you don't need the podcast. I'm saying I've never bothered to ask the question, like, the actual origins of the 58K gang. I've just let it come and go two or three times. And just go, yeah, it's funny, right? Like, it is funny that we're back at 58. Like,
that's funny.
So, don't know what it is 100%, don't know the origin, but it's a meme that's been carried over from Twitter.
May it live on forever.
This is the consolidation. Like, we'll get into a little technical real quick. This is the consolidation period. The fact that we're consolidating around 58K signals to me that there's a bunch of people that bought and/or sold at 58K during the last cycle. And so all of those people are now, for the most part, like, I'm good at 58K. I don't have to sell. So they, like, you know, they're not taking profits past 58K. And they don't have to buy because they're like, well, I'm in profit. This period, it kind of makes sense that we experienced it before. We went up and we came down to it again. But if we're going to bounce off of it, I don't think we're going back down to 15 now that Goldman Sachs has bought like $50 billion worth of Bitcoin. Like, I just don't think it's happening. So we're bouncing off 50K going up. Last time we bounced off 50K, 58K, it went down.
Okay, babe. Now that you told me that my Nostr profile, or what is it, social graph, is now integrated into Fountain, I went into my Fountain profile and I was maybe following three people on Fountain before. Like, I wasn't really doing it in that way. And now, yeah, my follower count and my following count is being reflected on Fountain, which is really interesting because my follower count seems really unreliable depending on what client I use for Nostr, but I see a clear number here. So I wonder if this is the true number. Can I rely on Fountain?
You cannot rely on any follower count number.
Ever.
Ever. And there's a basic reason for that, which is a Nostr reason. Your follower count is the number of people that are following you. But in order to be signaled as following you, your client needs to see their follower list. So if their follower list is on a relay that you're not connected to, they don't count as a follower for you. You know what I'm saying?
Which brings us to, like, follower counts don't even matter.
They don't matter as much because there's no algorithm. On the other platforms, follower count matters because it is a proxy for your reach. If you have 1 million followers, you should be able to reach a percentage of them reliably. But on Nostr, because of the relays, people come and go. Relays come and go, right? Like, you know, I think Will was talking about shutting down the Domus relay, for example. Like, it's not so much follower count. It's when you post something, how many people zapped it, mm-hmm. right? Like, you could have one follower that zaps you 1 million sats. Or you could have 1 million followers that zap you nothing.
What is better?
Which is better, right? So I would argue that somewhere in the middle is better, right? But if you're looking at Noster as a monetization layer for information, then I would prefer the one person who zaps me a million sats that because I posted something.
Well, you're talking about all of this like from the content creator perspective, but let's bring it back to, you're telling me that Noster has been integrated into Fountain, and Fountain is a podcasting app. And the unique thing about Fountain up until now was that it allows people to send Bitcoin when they like something that they've heard on a podcast.
I mean, ironically, that is not the first unique thing about Fountain. The first unique thing about Fountain was that by default, you can communicate with your listeners.
Mm.
Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, there's no like social layer on those things. It's I put out an episode, maybe you leave a comment about the episode, but there's no discussion or like connecting with your listeners. So that was Fountain, in my opinion, Fountain's first real addition to the podcasting space. The Bitcoin part is the second part. And then the third part is you can also earn money by listening to podcasts because of various reasons and business models that Fountain has been doing over the past 2 years.
So now that Noster is integrated into Fountain, I'm looking at my feed. I'm seeing like if I had posted a link of an episode and there were responses or something like that, that's going to show up now in Fountain. And if I got zapped, that shows up as a zap that the episode got?
Yes.
Okay. So it's just like trying to aggregate like how much value this episode has generated.
From like the Bitcoin Zaps perspective, yeah, it's aggregating value. But from the Noster integration, it's aggregating all the engagement that you could generate. Think about how we put out the podcast before. We basically had two layers of communication. It was, hey, there's a new episode on Fountain. You can listen on Fountain. You can comment on Fountain. We'll reply or whatever on Fountain. And our listener base of people that we could communicate with was limited to the Fountain space. Now it's been expanded to the Noster space. So you could have the same conversation in the Fountain app, but you're actually talking to people who are using Domus or Primal or Amethyst or Fountain. So the number of people you can reach in that same space of communication has, let's say, quadrupled.
I guess I have to experience that to really understand what you're saying.
It's the same way that we met, that I interacted with or contacted the guy who did the song, Man Like Quicks. I was on Wavelake. Wavelake is another app that's integrated Noster into it. So I listened to the song on Wavelake. I zapped the song on Wavelake, but it posted something on Noster. On Noster, you see a post from Ian that says, I think I was like, this song is fire or something like that, right? Other people saw that and then retweeted it and commented on it. And right, so like...
I see. It's if somebody is following you on any Noster client, they'll see the activity that you have about a post that's maybe an audio post. Well, they're all audio posts, right? Wavelake and Fountain. All right.
Again, it's all about interoperability. Fountain does podcasts and music. They do a little bit of music, I think. And Wavelake does music and a little bit of podcast. Fountain had this like really good social layer that was not built on Noster. We could communicate with our listeners, but they had to be using the Fountain app.
Mm-hmm.
And that restriction has technically been removed. You could be using Primal in a browser. You could be using Primal on your phone. You could be using Domus, right? Like you could be using all these other Noster clients to communicate with people that before this update were only in Fountain.
So let's say somebody posts a link to one of our episodes, like a Fountain link, and says, man, this episode sucks. That would show up on our episode page in Fountain. As like a comment that someone had.
Don't quote me on this, but I don't think so. I don't think that just posting a link would do that.
Well, because I posted a link of one of our older episodes. I'm seeing this right now. I posted a link of one of our older episodes, you know, because we haven't put one out in a while. That was related to something that someone had posted about. I'm seeing that activity here, and I don't know if it's because
here, let me see your phone.
So I'm seeing the posts that we made when we were announcing the new episode. I see that on here.
Your analysis is correct. Fountain is doing a little extra layer of magic there, where they're seeing the URL that's in the post, which references content in their system, and then they're attaching it to their content in their system. Yes.
Yeah, I think that's...
That's what you're seeing, yes.
I think that's really interesting because you have any discussion that's happening on Noster around an episode, if it has that hyperlink, it shows on the episode page.
Yep.
That's a lot of information for like a popular podcast.
Well, that's the point, is that before this update, that information was bifurcated. You could have a lot of discussion going on Noster and it looks like nothing's happening in Fountain, or vice versa. Mm-hmm. Ours was all happening in Fountain and none of it was happening on Noster. Mm-hmm. So now we've bridged the gap. So for example, we wouldn't have to do like, oh, make the clip and post it over there. It's all the same thing now.
Yeah.
That's what Noster interoperability really means. Now Fountain has chosen to do this. They've chosen to look at the notes, see the URL, and associate it. People could choose to do other things, but the more important part is that your followers and all that activity is all tied together. So it's not owned by Fountain. It's not owned by Spotify, Apple. Like, that's your follower list. You are the person and the only person who can modify that list. You are actually updating a record and publishing it to all these relays. It's not Fountain's data, but they're using it because you're giving them not so much access, but you're signing the note as it's published that allows them to, when you follow someone in Fountain, add them to your follower list, right? So you can follow someone in Wavelake, follow someone in Fountain, follow someone on Thomas, follow someone on Amethyst, and they all reflect the update in all the different apps. Twitter and Facebook and TikTok don't do that.
So if you are listening right now, take the hyperlink from Fountain. If you're not on Fountain and you're listening to us, like, that's amazing because our stats don't really reflect you. But get on Fountain, get the hyperlink, post it to Noster, maybe something positive, or if you want to, you know, cause some drama, make it negative, and then go see if your comment is on our episode page. It's just so like you guys can live that experience too.
Yeah. And it's not just Fountain stuff, you know, like Wavelake is doing something similar, I believe, if they're not doing it already, where if you post a link to Wavelake music, it shows up in Wavelake. So like Fallon and Wavelake and these audio guys have been like working on this idea. They don't work for each other, but they're, how are we all going to do this together? Noster is all about interoperability. It's all about working together. It's all about, how does my stuff work in your app without me having to write any code? We just agree on the spec and then we both use it. We're talking about like featuring music on the podcast, right? So like last week we did Noster City.
This week we did. I love that song. Yeah. Have you guys listened to it? If you missed last week's episode, you got to listen to it again. Like, it's such a good song. We jam to it like it's a real song because it is.
I mean, I have it on repeat in the car.
It's so good.
I've had it for a while before we actually like put it out. So I've been listening to it for a while. But that song should follow the same format where if you post the link to the song in Wavelake, it'll show up in Wavelake any comments you leave. And if you post the link to the song in Fountain, it should show up the same way you just saw our podcast episode show up. The social media companies don't even remotely work like that. Like Spotify, Apple, all of them, they don't work like that.
It's very siloed, but also you're not necessarily connecting with anyone that has the same interests as you. Whereas like with the challenge of Noster right now, it's finding your community, and like the constant complaint that I see from some people who just seem to want to complain and aren't necessarily contributing to the protocol are like, everyone's just talking about Bitcoin. Everyone's just talking about Bitcoin and they're saying the same stuff about Bitcoin. Well, like, all right, if you're enjoying a certain podcast, now you can see the other people who are also enjoying that podcast, maybe not necessarily on the app that you're consuming that podcast on. And then if there's music that you're enjoying, you'll be able to also see like who has similar taste in music, who's enjoying the artist that you are. And like, you can build different micro communities around those shared interests.
Fountain has a self-selected group of people that are interested in podcasts and Bitcoin. That's your community. That's like your little community there. You may not want to see everything that's on Noster, but in your podcasting app, the people that are commenting and sharing podcasting related stuff, like, that might interest you. So if one of your followers shares a link to a different podcast, you're like, oh, that's interesting. But now you'll see all the discussion about that episode, not only in Fountain, but also from the Noster mm-hmm. network as a whole. And those people might not be using Fountain. So that's where like, this is like a really good example of interoperability that we personally as podcasters of our podcast experienced. And so for this season, we don't have this problem. Like, Fountain has actually solved a problem that we were experiencing by integrating Noster. We didn't have to ask them to do it because, as I said in the previous episode, when I predicted this, it's like, eventually they will do this. And if they were starting from scratch today, this is how they would do it. And that's where they are now.
You said something really interesting when you were trying to explain to me why this is a big deal, what Fountain has done. And you had called Fountain the first ever Noster app. And maybe wavelength is as well now. But can you describe what that means?
It might be a little hyperbolic to say it's the first Noster app, but I'm saying it's the first Noster app if you look at Noster as an operating system. It's a little technical, but follow me here. On Apple and iOS, for the longest time and probably still till today, if you're building an app on iOS, Apple gives you access to certain parts of the phone, like the camera, the microphone, but you don't get access to like the full operating system. So then you have Android, and Android goes the opposite direction. Like you basically have full access to the operating system. You have to ask permissions and stuff like that. But if you're building an app on Android, for most of Android's life, you had more access to the hardware that was literally in your hand than you did on an iPhone. And so that's been the battle, right? Like how much access and interoperability should these apps have on these devices?
And Apple's defense for their model is it's better security for your phone.
I don't think they were making the security argument loudly. They were making the user experience argument.
Mm.
So when you give that type of access, it also requires people to know what they're doing. People have access to your phone and they're like draining your battery because they don't know how to write code or something like that. Like it seems like it would only affect the app, but it actually affects the user's whole experience of their phone.
Mm-hmm.
When you were running iOS back in the day, whatever was on your screen was really the only thing your phone was doing. There was no like background processes. Now we like play music in the background, or you can watch YouTube videos in the background while you're on some other app, right? But that's because they have more processing power on the phone, so they can do multiple things. Well, Android was doing that way before Apple was, but now they both kind of do the same thing, but they're still siloed. iOS apps don't run on Android, for example. You can make an app that only works on iOS or Android, right? And at the end of the day,
you have to make separate apps, right?
You have to make separate apps. But the point I'm driving at is that the interoperability of an app. So let's say you have the Twitter app, right? Twitter app on your iPhone, Twitter app on Android. They are the same in that they were both built by Twitter. They're both connected to Twitter's API. They're both showing you Twitter data. There's no interoperability between the Twitter app on your phone and any other app on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
The Noster operating system says if you build your application on top of Noster and your users are logging in and using your application as a Noster application, like a iOS application or an Android application, like think of it like that, a Noster application. Then if I have a Noster app on my iPhone and a Noster app on my Android phone, they are interoperable. I have a follower that I create in iOS on app A, and it shows up as a follower in an app on Android in app B.
But that's also true for Twitter. If you follow someone on Twitter, they'd show up on both your phones.
The Twitter database is the Twitter database. Mm-hmm. You log in, both apps connect to the Twitter database. In Noster, that's not what's happening. So similar with Bitcoin and nodes and mining, right? There's all these computers doing this processing to make the Bitcoin network run. Well, there are all these computers running to make the Noster network run. They're called relays. And so your phone is layer one. Your apps are layer two, if you want to call it that, to tie it to like the Bitcoin concept, right? So at layer two, right now in Bitcoin world, we're calling that Lightning. Lightning is layer two for the Bitcoin network. Let's call Noster layer two for the mobile phone operating systems or all operating systems. So now whether you're on Windows desktop, Android, iOS, or Android, iOS, whatever operating system you're on, your apps can be interoperable in a way that it's operating system agnostic because the thing that they're interoperable on is now Noster. Not if you're on Android, for example, and you hit share, you can move data between apps on Android by hitting share. And that's a built-in feature that mm-hmm. Android has. But you can't do that over to iOS. You can't hit a button on Android and like share it to an app in iOS. But with Noster, fundamentally you could because, and I see the look in your eyes, like you're like, what do you mean by that? Or like whatever,
yeah,
but like,
I don't understand.
Again, this is a very technical concept, but it's on the same trajectory of why I said what I said about Fountain 2 years ago when I was like, this looks like it's heading in this direction. Noster, if this works the way I think it will work, is going to be an alternative to iOS and Android. That's really what I'm driving at.
There'll be Noster phones?
Yes.
Ooh.
Not so much a Noster phone because you don't have like a HTTP phone,
mm-hmm.
right? But Noster is a protocol. HTTP is a protocol. We don't have HTTP phones. You have browsers on your phone that connect to websites. That's the HTTP protocol. So think of browsers on your phone as HTTP protocols. Think of all the apps on your phone as HTTP protocol apps. Mm-hmm. They all access APIs, the Twitter API, all that fun stuff. They access all of them over HTTP. A Noster phone would have a bunch of apps on it that are connected to a bunch of different relays. But since that data is going to be used by all the different apps, right? They all use the same data from the relays. Mm-hmm. You would have your phone being the thing that connects to all these different relays. And then the apps on your phone just connecting to your local relay.
Which is your phone.
It won't be Android. It won't be iOS. But I believe that there will be a specific device in the next 10 years that just like all the apps on your phone today are fundamentally HTTP apps, right? We don't call them HTTP apps. So like calling Fountain a Noster app is like, it's cool to say it now, but in the future, it'll just be Fountain. Mm-hmm. I predict that there will be a phone. It'll probably be a forked version of Android first, and then someone will build a more customized version. That's usually how these things go. But basically, its purpose will be you program the relays into the phone, not into the individual apps. You know how you go into Domus, it's like, oh, these are my relays. Mm-hmm. You go into Primal, these are my relays. That'll be at the phone level. And so your phone will manage that, and your phone will keep that cache as data for the phone. And then all the apps on your phone will just talk to that layer of data. And then you'll see a lot of great experiences for Noster apps.
What you're telling me is we're really early.
We're very early. Nobody would have predicted what I just said about all the apps on your phone being basically HTTP browsers, right? Mm-hmm. Like Apple was just excited to put a browser on your phone. They were like, look, we put Safari in the phone.
Oh, look, nobody likes it.
I mean, Safari is what it is. Like, I don't use it, but like, it's basically Google Chrome now.
It's not good.
It's Google Chrome now. They literally use the same code as Google mm-hmm. Chrome. So like, it's good as, you know, anything else.
You're just still not logged into your Google account. So it's easier to just move over to Chrome on the iPhone. But I will forever complain about the iPhone because, as you all may know, I got the iPhone and immediately hated it. And Ian kept telling me, just switch back to Android. And I was like, eh, that's too much work. And
so I had to hear about it for going on 2 years now.
Yeah, more than 2 years, maybe three.
Sounds like it wasn't more work.
I mean, at least the iPhone is still working. Let me knock on wood. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to go back to Android. Maybe if I wait long enough, my next phone will be a Noster phone.
You'll be waiting a while for that. But I do think like that's a cool vision for the future, right? Like all of my data is on my phone and all of my apps on my phone literally just talk to that cached layer of data. And the phone manages like syncing up the relays and fundamentally doing what Primal's doing, right? Primal kind of pulls all your data to their servers and then sorts it out so that when you make your first request, it's like a cached version of that. Just imagine your phone doing that by default. And that's kind of what Android does to some degree already, but to build the operating system stack up from that premise, I think would be very interesting. And I think someone's going to try to do it.
Get the power back. Get the freedom back. Get an M-Pub. And just start with that.
Babe, I really let you nerd out in this episode.
I mean, you can't stop me from talking.
Can't stop, won't stop.
No, we don't use that phrase anymore.
Why? Can't stop, won't stop.
Who originated that?
I don't know.
You should ask the question.
Was it Diddy?
It was.
Was Diddy. His influence knows no bounds.
This is the problem. People just repeat stuff and they don't know who it came from.
It's true.
We were at the thing on Monday and they started playing like Diddy music and people in the pool started booing.
Oh, really?
The DJ didn't respond like, oh, yeah, that's right. He just kind of kept playing it. But there were women in the pool that were booing.
Oh.
That was also when I went inside.
Oh, yeah, I was taking a nap. Ian and I went to a spa on Monday because we really needed it and we had childcare. And at one point I took a nap and Ian moseyed on upstairs to the rooftop pool that the spa had. It was very nice, guys. It was really nice. Ian is not a partier. Like, that would be so much more my scene than his, but somehow he found himself at a rooftop pool party on Labor Day with P. Diddy playing.
That was funny because I was laughing at that. Like, oh, okay, he's going to play that. That's interesting. And then people started booing and I was like, oh, yeah, that adds up. And then he didn't stop and they kept booing and he didn't stop. And I was like, this guy, I don't care.
He's Team Diddy.
I guess he's on Team Diddy. Going back to why I nerded out on this, you know, I made a prediction about Fountain about 2 years ago. it turns out that I was 90% correct. But I don't think that was a prediction. I think that was just a natural course of events that was bound to happen. You know, you could just kind of see it coming. This phone idea, this idea that I'm talking about, I think it falls into that category. I think that it's going to take time. You know, it's going to take time for people to figure out, well, what hardware do we need? What type of processing do we need? Is it as powerful as an iPhone? Do we not need that much power? Like, to build hardware takes a lot of iteration and design to figure out the specs of a phone. But the thing that I think people will care the most about is, okay, now you have this caching layer coming in, also have a caching layer going out. So I could actually use my app in a way that says certain data never leaves my phone. And I can guarantee that because everything goes through this relay. I control at the relay level in my phone what actually leaves my phone. Right now, when you use these apps, you don't have any control. They're calling directly to their servers.
But you're saying that's only if like the phone or the app is designed that way.
No, I'm saying if you're building apps for what, if you were going to build an app for this new operating system that I'm talking about, you wouldn't be able to connect to, like, you couldn't build an app that says, all right, connect to relay.domus.io. The only relay you can connect to is the relay on the phone. Mm-hmm. And then the relay on the phone is what you have access to that says, oh, you sync up with domus.io, primal.net, or whatever.
Like,
right?
That always needs to be a manual thing that's added.
It's not that it needs to be manual. There's tons of things we could do to make it easier for people. But the idea that apps on your phone do not write out to the internet. Apps on your phone can only write to your phone. And then your phone is where the control layer is that says, you can sync up this data with these places that I've approved. Mm-hmm. That's how you end up with these apps right now, because they're using the HTTP protocol. You can have apps that are running on your phone that are making calls all over the place and leaking your data all over the place.
Yeah, and they are.
And they are. Some by design, some by poor programming.
They're listening to everything you say.
If you take the Apple approach, which what Apple did was say, they did two things. But the first thing that they did was they said, no Java. That basically meant no Android apps. Mm-hmm. The other thing they did was they really, 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 really forced you into the App Store. Well, if you have this Noster operating system, if it's built in Noster, in the spirit of Noster, there will be multiple app stores. But if Apple was willing to say no Java, this phone could say apps are not allowed to use the HTTP protocol. So they can't leak it out. Yeah. They can only make a connection to a server that's on the phone. There are phones that do this. They're called hardened phones and they don't let random connections open and stuff like that. But with Noster, it creates this like interoperable idea that says, look, I am going to sync some data out, but I want to be able to control it and I want to be able to see where it went. And Noster gives you that ability. You know, a lot of people have been talking about putting the blockchain on phones. You know, if we get the cost of memory down and the compression this and all that, we're going to put like
some pie in the sky goals.
Well, I mean, like it's a terabyte. So there's a terabyte hard drives that you could put in phones. They're expensive though. It drives the cost up. People have been focused on that with Bitcoin. We're going to put the Bitcoin blockchain on phones. The spirit is there, but I think more importantly is to put the Noster relays on phones first. You get the Noster relays on phones first, and then you get a Noster phone, then you have a different incentive mechanism to get that Bitcoin blockchain on the phone.
Get the power back, get the freedom back, get an M-Pub, and just start with that.
Are you ready for Satoshi for your thoughts, Ian?
Isn't that this whole podcast?
That's true.
But sure, why not?
What would you say to people that are working on Bitcoin technology, but not Noster technology? What would you say could be a signal to them through this Noster integration on Fountain that this is where they should be focusing their energies on? What would show as like an indicator of this is the path to success, to successful further integration of using Bitcoin? Because ultimately, we're going back to these are still ways that you can share content and get value for it.
It would depend on which Bitcoin technology you're referring to when you say people are working on Bitcoin technology. But fundamentally, like if you're working in the Bitcoin space and you're not interested in Noster or you don't think it's the thing or whatever, like the integration with Fountain that Fountain just did is a really good example of what's to come. And so with Bitcoin, you know, it's mostly about money movement, value movement. But what Bitcoin has a really hard time with and what most of these apps are doing is discovery. It's like, cool, you want to send money to someone. How do you find them? Mm-hmm. They have to send you a Bitcoin address. Like that's cumbersome at best, right? It's like, I want to send an email to somebody. I don't have to send them a message first that says, here's my email. Like, you know, like it's so, yeah. So like Bitcoin is a really good value transmitter, but it's not good at relaying, for lack of a better term, like a contact list or contact information. It's not designed to do that. There's a lot of people that think that should be built into Bitcoin, and they're going down that road. Lightning is kind of down that road, but not really. But Nostr, I believe, is that layer. So with Nostr, you know, you have your metadata for your account, your private and public key. And the one thing you put in there is a Lightning address. So now on Nostr, I have a contact list full of people that I can send money to without having to ask, where do I send the money?
Yeah.
So if you're building something on Bitcoin that's like trying to solve that problem, just integrate Nostr.
Yeah, this could be your address
it's
book.
Done.
Yeah.
And this is fundamentally
your
like...
your Lightning address book.
I mean, it's just your address book. For example, you know, Primal integrates with Strike. You can get Lightning or on-chain Bitcoin in Primal because they're just using the Strike API. So whether it's on-chain or Lightning, it's going to land in Strike's whatever, and then it shows up via the API in Primal. For those people, I would say definitely look at Nostr. It's like if PayPal didn't have a way for you to send money to people, right? Or Venmo didn't have a contact list, right? That's what Bitcoin is right now. And Nostr is the contact list for Bitcoin. It's the same technology, public and private key. You know, it's the same concepts. It's just one is literally your address book and one is your wallet. And when you put those two things together, every app in the future should have those two things combined. You should be able to move value between the users of the app for whatever reason. And you should be able to connect, not have to bring, you know, invite people over, add more followers, right? Like rebuild your social graph because you went from Twitter to Facebook. Mm-hmm. That shouldn't exist anymore in the next layer of Nostr apps, right? Like when the next fountain is created, we all just log in with our Nostr account and try it out. All our people are there, you know, whatever. It's like nothing has changed. And that will allow, in my opinion, it will allow more niche things to exist because you won't have to get everybody before your thing makes sense.
Right.
Fallon was able to survive for as long as it did without Nostr because it's relatively niche and unique. But now Wavelake exists. Fallon could have added music, which they did. They could have just integrated whatever Wavelake has. So you don't have to build everything now. Mm-hmm. That's the big thing about Nostr is you don't have to build everything. You don't have to build the whole social graph part into your application. It's already there. You don't have to build like a communication layer into your app. It's already there. It's going to lead to a better ecosystem of apps, but Bitcoin is already a very small subset of the population. Let's say 1% of the entire world population is like on board with Bitcoin. Nostr is not a subset of the world population. It's a subset of the Bitcoin population. Mm-hmm. So like there aren't that many people. And what we need are things that don't speak to Nostr specific people or even Bitcoin specific people. We need apps such as Fountain that say, hey, podcasting plus Nostr plus Bitcoin create a really cool experience, right? Or Zapstream, right? So it's like video plus Nostr.
Really cool experience.
Really cool experience, yeah. Right? And oh, by the way, it's the same experience, right? Because if you're sharing a Zapstream link, you'll see it in Nostr the same way you'll see a Fountain link, right? It's all the same concept versus the way it is now, which is I got Zapstream, you got Fountain. We both share them on Twitter and they both are controlled by how Twitter thinks it should be displayed. Like the people that post Fountain links on Twitter, they didn't have any say in how Twitter is going to render that link. But like the Fountain guys and the Wavelake guys, they got together and said, how is this going to look when we render? Like everyone was involved in how that was going to work. That's another big part of Nostr is before someone will like interop with your app, you got to talk to them. You don't just get to bully them and say, that's just how it's going to be. It's my app. It's like, no, if you want me to work with you and have this thing work like this, we got to talk. And so you won't see these mega platforms like Twitter or Facebook or TikTok that are just standing there like, what are you going to do? We'll just copy paste and do it our way.
So you're saying it's going to make everyone have to flirt with each other? A little courtship.
Developers are going to have to establish different relationships than currently exist when you go to like a website like Twitter and it says, oh, check out our developer section. The developer section of Twitter is just telling you, this is how you work with me. Full stop. Nostr is, this is how we work together. It's very it's very subtle, but it's very different. And if you're not a developer, you don't really get the full impact of that. I was literally talking to one of my old coworkers today, and I was trying to explain the same concept to him. And he was like, it sounds better. And I was like, it's better, but it's going to take a couple more of Fountain Wavelake type partnerships mm-hmm. to make people really see like, oh, I want to be part of that developer ecosystem.
Well, it sounds like you found an ecosystem that will be a really good fit for you.
We'll see. I think so. I think these are more in line with my people, my values, my outlook on the world for software development.
I think so too. All right, listeners. So remember, if you haven't already, grab the Fountain episode link, post something amazing, silly, ridiculous, or even negative so that we can see it and we can all see how this new interoperability via Nostrin and Fountain works. I'm excited to see it. And I'm a little excited for the future. I'm excited for my future Nostra phone. Do you think I can get it in purple?
I would be surprised if it didn't come in purple. And maybe I'll make it. Maybe that'll be a requirement.
Get the power back. Get the freedom back. Get an M pub. And just start with that.